good to be here this morning and to see each one that's here. There's not a lot of us, but as I was sitting here earlier, I was thinking about the many times that the Lord came down in wonderful fashion when there was just a few people. The Lord has done that throughout the ages, and you can read in the Scriptures. I was thinking about the Mount of Transfiguration, when God's Spirit came down. There was just a few there, but He did that and He blessed them. And I thought of other times that the Lord has been good and faithful to those that come and meet Him in spirit and in truth. He cares about us. He wants to see us, each one, make it to heaven. He loves us. And I want to be careful to give Him my heart and my life. I want to make it in. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. Thought about the three Hebrew children. There was just three of them having a little service in the fire. And the Lord came down and He walked with them in a wonderful way, right in the midst of the fire. He was there. And He's willing and wants to do that for us this morning. I have a message that I feel like the Lord gave me this past week. I know the last time that I was here, I preached a message on how to equip ourselves so that we don't become weary in this Christian journey and the walk that we have with the Lord. And this morning, I felt like the Lord gave me a message this past week that goes along with that. In the third chapter of Philippians, I know there's been probably a lot of messages preached on this verse. I've written the title on the board, Press Toward the Mark. I've probably preached about this before. But I want to share with you the way that the Lord gave it to me this last week. And my prayer is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by it. Paul said in the third chapter of Philippians, in the 13th verse, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." And we'll stop there. In a world that is so full of trouble, in the midst of where sin abounds, in a world where it seems like that the influences are so strong among us, seems like there are so many that are getting pulled and drawn away from truth, seems like the enemy is working overtime to come in and get us to become distracted with ways that are not aligned with holiness and righteousness. In a world that is so full of uncertainty, seems like things can come upon us so quick and turn our world upside down so quickly. You know, one day we feel like we kind of know what our lives look like, and it seems like the next day we can just, if we let it, we can feel like our lives have been turned upside down and the unexpected happens and the thing that we don't think will ever touch us touches us. The enemy is working to bring discouragement and working to cause those that have had faith in the past to lose faith. We live in a world of uncertainty where life and health itself is uncertain. Our health is not certain. Our time on earth is not certain. Life is brief at best. But I want to bring this message to you this morning. We can have hope. We can have security. We can build our life on a foundation that is sure and secure and has an expected end, a good end. The Lord wants us to press on. He wants us to not get our eyes off on these other things and be drawn away and to be carried away and to be discouraged and to cause us to get our eyes on the waves that are around us and off of Jesus who says, come. The Lord is telling us today, come. And He's the master that walks on the water. He's the master that walks on the waves. He's the one that can go through the fire unscathed, through the storms unscathed. And He bids us to come. Come walk with me through the fire. Really, He comes and He walks with us through the fire. But He bid Peter come out of the boat and come walk with me on the water. Come on. And the Lord is bidding us to do that, and we can. We can have victory. And the scripture that we read this morning tells us to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And I thought about that word press. What does the word press mean to you? Thought about that word a little bit. Press means... it means to exert force, doesn't it? When you press on something, it means to defy. Sometimes it means to defy. When you press against something, you are defying a force that is coming in the opposite direction. Press towards the mark. And I also thought that pressing necessarily means... or to me, it's directional. Pressing is directional to me. And I think I've said that here before, maybe. It has direction. If I press against something, it necessarily means I'm going away from something else. And the scripture that we read this morning gives us direction. It tells us how to press. It tells us which way to press. It says to press towards the mark of the high calling of God. And I want to ask you this question this morning. What are you pressing towards? What are you moving away against? The world today, many in the world today, they're pressing for many different kinds of things, aren't they? People are pressing for, I don't know, there's the common things that, you know, usually come up when someone starts talking about things like this. People press towards houses and lands, right? People press towards material things. People spend their lives trying to attain increased beauty. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. People are consumed with trying to make themselves look younger than what they are. That usually catches up with them after that might work for a little while, but it doesn't work for their whole life. But people press towards, you know, what do they say? 50 is the new, I saw this the other day, 50 is the new 40, and 40 is the new 30, and 30 is the new 20. That's how they presented it. Well, that might work for a while. I've not figured out how to look 10 years different. But it doesn't change the end. And yet people press. They take their time and their energy and they press for things. People press for satisfaction of self-interest. People press for, and listen to this one. This has weighed on my heart. People press to attain less spiritual accountability. You know what? They do today. People are pressing to try to figure out how they can have a reduced amount of spiritual accountability and still feel some sense of spiritual peace. I don't want to say it's a losing proposition. It's a losing battle. But people are pressing. The religious world today is pressing to try to figure out how to be able to live like they want to live and do the things that they want to do in every area of their life and still be able to be named the name of Christ, but still have this other. And if you can have less spiritual accountability where your direct actions and the decisions you make in life, where there's really not as much emphasis on that. I mean, wouldn't that be convenient if we could just kind of live how we want and let this go and let that go and take this on, but still have everything be okay with the Lord? That is all around us, and the religious world seems to be consumed with trying to find ways for that to happen. I want to be a disciple of Christ this morning. I want to press not towards the temporal things, not towards the things that are going to fade away. I don't want to spend my life and my energy trying to figure out all that I can get by with and still make it into heaven. That's not how I want to live my life. I want to live my life so that I am pressing and it's directional towards the mark. And the Scripture gives us that direction, as we mentioned. It's the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. It's eternal life. It's discipleship. It's truth. It's living a life where the Lord is able to begin to perfect us in righteousness and holiness. Are we pressing to that? The Lord is coming by our way and He's calling us. He's bidding us to come. He gave His life. The Bible verse was mentioned this morning and a personalized name was inserted into it. God so loved the world. God so loved, and insert your name, that He gave His only begotten Son and He gave His life for you. And then He comes by and He bids us to come. After He has done all of that, He comes by and He says, come, follow Me. Come, press against that other. Press towards the mark or the prize of the high calling of God. That's what I want to press for today. That's what I want to be consumed with. That's what I want to get up in the morning. And no matter the duties of the day, I have a job that I have to go to, just like you do. I have things that are necessary for me to attend to, but I want to do it in a way that I am pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And most don't. The Scripture tells us that. Most don't do this. What group are we going to belong to this morning? I probably told you this before. I'll repeat it. Brother Ostis, he used to repeat a lot of his stories, and this is a story I'll repeat of his. But I remember clearly. I believe I was sitting in one of these side benches in our church. I sat up there often, and I was very young. And Brother Ostis was preaching about the 10 virgins. And he said five were wise and five were foolish. And he got to the end and he said, if If it turns out just like the way that the Lord split this up, He said that would mean, since He's talking about virgins, those that are largely unspotted from the world, He said that would mean that half of the people here in the congregation would be lost. And that half would make it in. And I remember just as a little guy being so bothered by that and impressed by that. And I'll just tell you what I did. I was a little guy and I looked over the congregation trying to figure out who it would be that would be lost. And who it might be that would make it in. And it was a disturbing place to try, you know, in my mind, I didn't understand it completely. But I was trying to simulate what He said and what He meant. And realize that, as I've grown older, to realize that there are many, many people who call on the name of the Lord, that the Lord's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Most people, because the way is narrow that leads to life everlasting. And most people do not spend their lives pressing in. Because it doesn't accommodate. When we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, it does not accommodate me and my flesh. It doesn't. It accommodates me because it brings me abundant life. And it's a better way. And it's a way of hope and life and victory. But there's a self-denial that goes with it. It doesn't accommodate my flesh all the time. And so most people and the majority of the Christian world, they lose their vision. They lose their way. They still call in the name of the Lord, but they're not pressing towards the mark. Pressing means that you're constantly pushing, always. You're moving forward. And I thought about the children of Israel. The children of Israel in the wilderness, there was a vision of being delivered from sin and wrong, and well, from Egypt. It's a type of sin. Egypt is a type of sin and bondage. And they had a vision of the Canaan land and victory and somewhere else. And they left Egypt, but they wandered around in the wilderness for how many years? You remember? 40 years. You remember how long of a journey it really was if they would have just got there? Just several days, wasn't it? Several days journey. But they lost their vision. They lost their vision of the Canaan land. And they repeatedly lost their faith in God. And they began to get their eyes off of the goal. They took their eyes off of the prize that the Lord had for them. And they began to murmur and complain and look backwards. Well, if we were back in Egypt. And they start thinking about the things they had back in Egypt. And they begin to worship gods that were made with their own hands. You remember those stories. Built the God, began to worship that. And they let giants hinder them. You remember Joshua and Caleb? Joshua and Caleb went with the other spies into the Canaan land, into the prize of the high calling of God, a type of that, a place where God wants us to get because He loves us. And He wants to give us victory. And He wants to bring us through this life. And He wants us to conquer the giants that are in our life. And the spies went over there and they came back. And to a man they said, it's just like it says. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and it's, wow, it's wonderful over there. But we're not going to be able to go because there's giants over there, and we can't defeat them. And Joshua and Caleb, they looked at that and they said, wait a minute. This is my words now. I'm putting myself there. Yes, we can. We're well able. All we need to do is press to the mark of the prize of the high calling. Calling of who? Calling of God. God was calling them over there. God was bigger than the giants. If they would just follow the call of God, God wasn't going to leave them strewn out, defeated by the giants. It wasn't their battle. It was God's battle. But most of them looked around and said, we can't do that. And I wonder today how many of us allow the giants that are in this life to get us off course and to not press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. For we back off and we stop pressing for a closer walk with the Lord. For a closer, where we're filled with His Spirit. Where His righteousness begins to work in our life in a greater way than it did yesterday. Where he's able to perfect that which concerneth me. That's what the Scripture says. He will perfect that which concerneth me. And how many times do we let things that are giants to us hinder us from pressing towards the Canaan land, pressing to the mark of the prize? The Lord's saying, come on, look behind you. Look into the past. I've held you. I took you through the Red Sea. I parted the waters. I brought food to you when you didn't have food. I sent you manna. I sent you meat. I brought water out of the rock. I've done all of these things for you. Now, don't stop now. Don't give up. Come into the Canaan land. And so many times, the enemy will throw a giant in our path. And we look at him and say, oh my, I can't do that. I can't give that up. I can't live like that. That's too close to me. Who are we going to be numbered with this morning? I don't want to be numbered with the children of Israel that were not able to go into the Canaan land. Did you know that most of them were not? Let me think about this. Was there only two people that came out of Egypt? I believe that's how it was. There was only two people that came out of Egypt that went into the Canaan land. Caleb and Joshua, weren't they the only ones? I think I have that right. Because they wandered around for 40 years, and didn't the Lord, He was so displeased with their lack of faith when they said, we can't go over there, there's giants over there, we're not able. That the only ones that were able to go over were those that were somewhere in their 20s or 20 and under, except for Joshua and Caleb. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? What a tragedy. And we have been delivered from sin. God has given us the word of truth. And He's shown us the way. And He's given us a vision of eternal life. And He tells us, I gave my life. I shed my blood. I'll go before you. Now you press towards the mark of the prize. And how many people go through this short little life and we give up because of the giants that come in front of us. And we go, I want to get over there, but I can't. There's a giant. I can't do this. And then we're satisfied with the wilderness. And we say, well, the Lord must be, He's okay with the wilderness. No, He's not. The Lord's not okay with the wilderness. That's not where He wants you to dwell. He doesn't want us to say, well, Lord, we'll just serve You, but we're going to stay in the wilderness because we're afraid of the giants, so we're not going to go where the giants are. We're not going to go address the giants, so we're going to just stay here in the wilderness and we'll just serve You here in the wilderness. God's not pleased with that. We'll be lost if we do that. The Lord takes us through life, and it's a journey. That's why He said He will perfect that concerneth us. We grow in grace. We don't get there overnight, but when we get to the River Jordan, when He takes us through the wilderness, when we begin to grow in grace, and He teaches us and shows us, and we get to the River Jordan, the Lord says, okay, now come on. Here's the Canaan land. Keep pressing. Come. And we say, well, Lord, we'll just stay here. You've taken us this far. You've given us some victories. We're just content to stay here in the wilderness. It won't work. We'll be lost if we do that. Because the Lord is moving on. Remember when the cloud moved in the wilderness? Remember when the pillar of fire moved? You remember what they were supposed to do? Move with it. When it moved, they were supposed to get up and move. Otherwise, they were going to be left behind. And they had to take up the temple, the tabernacle, and move it where the Lord was so that the Spirit of the Lord could stay in there. And if they would have said, well, Lord, can you just stay here? Or we'll catch up with you later. It doesn't work that way, saints. God wants us to move forward. He wants us to press to the mark all the way to the end. And who are we going to be numbered with? The children of Israel, where the majority of them wandered around in the wilderness and died in the wilderness. Or are we going to be numbered with the people like David, who said, wait, is there not a cause? There's this giant, yes, but there's a cause that's greater than I am. Or we'll be numbered with Daniel, who was willing to be different, who dared to be different, who purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself with the meat on the king's table. Or will we be numbered with the three Hebrew children who said, we're not careful to answer thee, O King. We are not going to bow down. Will we be numbered with Joshua and Caleb who said, we're well able. Will we be numbered with those that are not so far removed from us? Our parents and our grandparents who followed this way to the death. And they made it in because they pressed all the way to the end. Will we be numbered with them? Or will we draw back? I don't want to draw back. I understand that there's times that it's going to be difficult. I thought about that verse in the 10th chapter of Matthew where Jesus said, 10th chapter of Matthew in the 34th verse, He said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be of thine own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. This speaks to me that the Lord is trying to tell us that the things that come the closest to us in life sometimes are the things that we have to give up and push against and press against. Members of our own family. Those can be the strongest forces that come against us. And the Lord's point here is not that He wants to see trouble in families, but He's saying, you have to have your eyes so set on Me that the things that are the closest to you, sometimes it's people, sometimes it's things. And whether it's people or whether it's things, we have to be willing, no matter how close they are to us, that we don't allow those things to get in between us and the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. The Lord wants us to be willing to take up a cross and follow Him. I often quote those verses, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force, and the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presseth into it. Does that describe us this morning? Does it describe us? Can we look at actions in our life? Can we look at the decisions that we made yesterday or last week, this past month, this past year? Can we look at it and say, yes, Lord, by Your help, I am pressing and I am taking action and I am doing everything I can to draw closer to You, and I'm doing everything I can not to stay where I am today, but to continue to press towards the Canaan land. Where the victory is. It's a high calling. It's a good place to be. I want to be found in the Canaan land. 1 Peter 2 and 9. I want to get this before we come to a close. He said, but you're a chosen generation. Remember this? Peter was telling us, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that have been called out of darkness and into this marvelous light. Is that a people that describes you? Is that who you're part of? God's calling us to that. There's victory in it. He has land for us to possess. Let's not let the giants get in our way. Do you remember what was right among the people that went against Jericho? Was it just the people and their weapons? Remember when Joshua and Caleb, they went after Jericho and they were fulfilling the word of the Lord? They went and they were doing exactly like the Lord said they were supposed to do to win this battle. Against the giants of Jericho. Do you remember what was right in the midst of them? Remember what they took? They took the Ark of the Covenant. They took the Lord with them. The presence of the Lord will go with us. If we'll take His Word and we'll take His promises and His Word and His laws and His Spirit, the most precious thing that the Lord has given us, and we take that with us through life, there is not a giant out there that can defeat us. There's not a giant out there that can stand in between us and attaining victory. And everything that we have found in our path that appears to be difficult for us to give up, or difficult for us to be able to go through, or the walls look too strong, or the discouragement looks too heavy, or the guilt that has come as a result of a mistake or a sin that we've made looks like we can't overcome it, to be able to get the victory that the Lord has for us in life, and we don't feel like we have the love for someone that we know that we ought to have, or the courage to go through with the Lord. He has victory for us. He has power for us. He'll go with us if we'll take Him with us. And the walls will come down, not because of the force that we ourselves bring against it, but because of the power and the Spirit of the Lord. What are you pressing against today? Keep your eyes on the end goal. Press to the mark or the prize of the high calling of God. Isaiah said in the 40th chapter, there towards the end, he said, I wrote it down here, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That can describe us. That's a promise for us. And he said in the 26th chapter of Isaiah, in the first verse, in this day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, for they that who? That trusteth in Him, or that keepeth the truth. That's what it said. They that keepeth the truth shall enter in. Keep the truth. Press to the mark. Don't be distracted by things that are at variance with the truth. But trust in Him. Keep the truth. And he went on and he said, thou shalt keep him in perfect, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusteth in him. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah. Or trust him in the forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's a promise for us. So this morning, may God grant us a vision of the end goal, of the mark, of the prize, of the high calling of God. May God help us see Him beckoning us to come to Him. May God help us get our eyes off of all the little temporal things of this life that are going to pass away, that we can put so much value on. Sometimes I sit back and I look at the things that people are willing to sell their souls for. A mess of pottage. A little bowl of lentils. Sell their birthright. People are willing to have barriers come between them and the Canaan land. For so little, what will a man get in exchange? Will a man profit if he gets all of this that the world has to offer? You want to fit in with the world? Is it worth that much to you? Do you want to do those things that draw on your flesh so much that you're willing to lose your soul? Are you willing to press for those things that are going to fall away and be as nothing in that last day? Or are we going to let the enemy take advantage of us by threatening us with giants that are nothing in the sight of God? Well, you're not good enough. Oh, you've had sin in your past life. Oh, you've made too many failures. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget about those things that the enemy would like to keep resurrecting in our minds and our hearts as giants. And he's saying, forget about that. And the enemy's saying, well, you can't go forward because, remember this, forgetting those things which are behind. Press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Press when? Press today. Now. The Scripture says, today is the day of salvation. The Scripture in Revelation says, behold, I come quickly. Because no matter how long we live, it's going to be so quick. When we face the Lord, it doesn't matter how old we are. It will have seemed that it went by so fast. And those that have given their lives to the Lord, those that have pressed toward the mark all the way to the end, I'm telling you, we're going to be so glad that we did. We're going to be so glad that we didn't give in to the temptations of the enemy. We're going to be so glad that we did not give in to our flesh. We're going to praise God for His mercy and His faithfulness to us, because the reward will be there. And if we do, give in, and we slack off, and we become weary, as we talked about the last time we were here, because we will not have armed ourselves with those things to keep us going strong, we're going to get to the end of the way and we're going to look over the past and we're going to think, for what? For that? I gave up my soul for that? Why didn't I press? The good news this morning is every person in here this morning, God has granted us life and time and opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. May all of us today live our lives so that we can have a testimony like Paul. When he got to the end of the way, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." It's coming for all of us. The time of our departure is coming for all of us. He said, "I fought a good fight, pressed all the way to the end, finished the course, kept the faith. And because of that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous God, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to every single person who loves His appearing." I want to live my life so I can love His appearing, so I can live every day where I can say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." May God help us all today to leave here with a renewed purpose of heart and mind to press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. Amen.